Brethren, in light to the Passover, I thought we might review about the person of Jesus Christ. Who was he? Where did he come from? What did he do? Well, I always have enjoyed hearing about Jesus Christ, but I like to hear about the person. Who was he? Again, who is he? We know that he came to this earth about 2,000 years ago. And we know that he was a great teacher on this earth. We also know that he had the courage to make the bold claim that he was the Son of the living God. Yet, during his time, the religious people of that time rejected him. Likewise, the local government saw him as a threat and became complicit in his execution. They opposed the growth of his teaching and tried to destroy the church that he founded. And today, Jesus remains a controversial figure still. The record of Jesus' life, as recorded in the Bible, has come to question by some in many ways. For example, the Gospels written presented miracles of Jesus Christ as supernatural, and today, many rationalize them away as natural functions of nature that were misunderstood at that time, or they simply dismiss them as fables or stories altogether that were made up a long time ago. And they have reconstructed Jesus in our modern way to look as a feeble, a sweet, queer-like appearance in most of the pictures that we see today. Yet he looked nothing like that. In real life, he was a rugged, suntanned looking individual, and he was a carpenter of his day. He did not wear lipstick. He did not have long hair. And he was not a skinny, pale-faced looking guy. No, he was a strong, rugged individual. And he did not stand out in a crowd so as you could pick him out right away. And I don't think he said truly, truly, and verily, verily, and sweetie, sweetie, or whatever. He had the strength, physical and mental. In one occasion, he went into the temple and flipped over some tables of merchandise. And if you can imagine the flea markets of today, the way they're set up, they have all kinds of heavy merchandise on them. They're always loaded with books, dinnerware, tools, and so forth. And they're pretty heavy. But being upset at the people for using the temple as a hardware store did not sit well with him. So he flipped the tables over and told everybody, get out of there. Jesus was a powerful being. When he spoke, he commanded authority, commanded respect, and he claimed authority to forgive sins. Note that in Mark 2, verse 5. And he claimed the power to raise the dead. Note that in John 5, verse 25 and 29. And he accepted honor and worship. Note that in John 5, verses 22 through 23. Over and over, he told his disciples to believe in him. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's in John 14, verse 1. He tells all believers to believe in him and to pray to the Father in his name. He said, no one comes to the Father except through him. Amazingly, Jesus fulfilled all prophecies about him. Note that in Mark 3, verse 18. He said, you search the scriptures, and for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. That's in John 5, 39. Even the 30 pieces of silver that was paid to Judas for betrayal of Jesus was prophesied in Zechariah 11, verse 12. Brethren, to accurately foretell these events 200 to 800 years in advance is nothing less than a miracle, one that requires divine knowledge and power to bring them to pass. as foretold. God does not do things by chance. He knew, even from the foundation of the world, that his Son would have to come to earth to redeem us from our sins and eternal death and be an example for us. He came to show us how to live and keep his commandments. God foretold the events of Jesus' birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection, so we would have firm evidence on which to base our beliefs. Yes, Jesus Christ is our captain, our Savior. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our leader in whom we trust. He is the one that bought us and paid the price with his blood. And he wants us to be totally dedicated to him, to live every word from him, to give up all things for him, just like he gave all things for us. He did not come to live his life for us. He came to show us how to live so we could have a happy, abundant life on this earth, work out our own salvations with his instructions and examples. And he made it very clear that our fate rests on our attitude toward and treatment of God's holy law. He made it very clear that those who follow him and aspire to his kingdom have a perpetual obligation to obey and uphold God's law. He said we cannot diminish from the law of God by even a jot or one tittle. That sounds impossible, but with God's help, all things are possible. God's law is perfect, and we must keep it. If we don't, then we become like the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, in making sure of religion. You can note that in Matthew 23, verses 23 and 28. So, brethren, we need to put every effort that we can in total obedience to Almighty God and constantly think about what they have done for us. Jesus and God the Father put us on this earth so he could reproduce himself in us. And take the bread and the wine, signifying that he wants to live in us, become like him in every way, shape, or form. He wants us to be family of the kingdom of God here on earth. He wants to be our brother and high priest, so we can claim God as our Father. He wants us to understand his plan through the holy days and the Sabbath. The world does not understand, but brethren, we do. He wanted to show the scribes and the Pharisees how wrong they were to impose old rules on how to keep the Sabbath that he instituted. And they ridiculed him for healing on the Sabbath. Note that in Mark 3, verse 1 through 6, Mark 3, verse 1 through 6, and Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Yes, he was ridiculed, yet they felt it was okay to take care of animals on the Sabbath. So they hated him for exposing their distorted views of God's commands. So who was and who is Jesus? Well, he's the being that died on the cross for you and for me. He went through the most gruesome death that has ever taken place against a man that did no wrong. His arrest, trial, and death is so profound and so deeply felt that no person was ever so innocent, so sinless, so blameless, so undeserving of such punishment. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2, verse 22 and 25. 1 Peter 2, verse 22 and 25. Verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Yes, brethren, Christ was the most virtuous man that ever lived. And who put him to death? Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, brethren, it's very easy to blame Christ's death on anybody. The religious hypocrites of his day or the civil leaders who wanted to retain their positions seem to implicate the most or lay the guilt of this murder on a whole race of people. But this is not as simple as that. It is a horrible truth that we all want to avoid, but the original followers of Jesus Christ are telling us that no one is innocent of this crime. We are all involved in the death of Christ. Paul was convinced of his own guilt. So again, who was and is Jesus? Well, he's the one King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who's coming to save us from this, our miserable way of life that mankind has chosen because of pride and arrogance, thinking that we can do better than Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Savior, who is coming to this earth to rule it with a rod of iron, and we can and will be his soldiers, his helpers, to bring it to pass. Turn with me to Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now in closing, turn with me to Revelation 19, verse 15. Revelation 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of this fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And that, brethren, that are just a few things that Jesus Christ was and is.